Chapter 6. The Sand of Silence. I land on my stomach with a gasp, my skin shivering from the plunge through the portal. Whatever that shimmering doorway was made of, it hit me like a blast of ice. Winded, I lie there for a second, waiting for my head to stop spinning and desperately hoping that I'm lying on the floor of the Echo Wood. But as I push onto my hands and knees, I see not crunchy leaves beneath me, but sand. The purest sand I've ever seen. So smooth and clean, it's almost like liquid. Climbing to my feet, I look around in dismay. Dunes curve and slope away, glowing white beneath a full moon that shines larger and brighter than I've ever seen it. Wait, it's night? That's not right. Gym class ended at 4 o'clock. Across the black, billions of stars burn, so many it almost hurts to look at them. The dusty band of the Milky Way arches from horizon to horizon. A river of stars and galaxies and nebulae. Quiet of the desert is like nothing I've ever heard. A silence so deep and so absolute that my ears feel empty with it. This is not the Echo Wood. This is like nowhere I've ever seen.
Miss Jones?
I nearly jump out of my skin. Spinning around, slipping on sand, I spot an old man standing a few steps away. He carries a massive set of bagpipes with one hand, while the other runs over his long white beard. Beneath that is a tuxedo jacket, and beneath that is a plaid kilt. His bare knees wobble slightly, and he's got white socks pulled up over his shins. He wears a tartan mask over his eyes. What is he? Some kind of Scottish desert Santa/superhero?
Miss Amelia Jones, he says again. We are pleased to see that you accepted our invitation.
I stare at him a moment longer. He must think I'm an idiot. Invitation? Invitation? That wasn't an invitation. It was a kidnapping. I whirl around, hoping to leap back to the Echo Wood, but the portal is gone. Of course it is. Of course it is. I'm stranded here, wherever here is, with somebody's kilted grandpa, probably a zillion miles from Mistwick, and nobody knows where I am.
Miss Jones, please take a breath.
The old man steps closer. I move back warily. My flute is back in my dorm room. We're not supposed to bring instruments to gym class, so I have no way of defending myself.
You are in no danger here,
Bagpipes Santa says calmly, which makes me feel no better.
Word of your talent has impressed Mr. Midnight, and he requests you be his honored guest for the evening.
Where am I? I ask, my voice barely above a squeak.
You are in the Saharan Desert, he says.
When I don't reply, he adds,
in the north of Africa.
I know where the Sahara is. That explains why it's nighttime. I must be 7 or 8 time zones ahead of Mistwick, right at Saharan midnight. Why am I here? What do you want from me?
We wish only to serve and entertain you. Once the performance is over, the portals will be reopened and you will be free to return home.
Right. This must be his polite way of saying I'm not free to leave until I've seen whatever it is he brought me here to see. I decide to play it nice, remembering some kidnapping survival tips Gran made me memorize after she watched too much late-night news. Speak calmly. Don't run. Obey instructions. Be observant. And try to make your kidnapper see you as a person. I'm Amelia, I say. Then I remember that he already knows my name. I'm 12 years old. I like to play the flute.
Yes, he says with a bemused smile. We know. I'm Mr. Stewart, manager of the Midnight Orchestra. Please follow me.
Obey instructions, Graham seems to whisper in my ear. So I start walking, staying a few steps behind the old man. My shoes slip and slide in the sand, and I shiver. It's even colder here than it was back at Mistwick. Explanations run wild through my head. This is some kind of test sprung by the maestros without warning. I tripped in the Echo Wood, hit my head, and this is all a dream. Or they have the wrong Amelia Jones. Hey, it's not as if that hasn't happened before. Finally, we come to a large split in the dune, where an ancient-looking pillared archway parts the wave of sand. Beyond it, pale stones pave the ground, making it easier to walk. This must be some kind of ancient ruin.
Welcome to the Midnight Orchestra,
says a woman standing in the archway. She's very lovely, with long black hair and a black lacy dress. She wears a mask, too, black lace molded perfectly over her beautiful face. Next to her is a little stall with a red curtain over it.
Please, she says, pulling aside the curtain. Choose.
I lean over to see an arrangement of masks, the fancy kind you'd wear to a masquerade party. There's glitter and feathers and rhinestones, even one mask that looks like it's made of crocodile skin. What in the world? This is getting weirder and weirder. But eager to make them see how obedient I am, I pick one at random and put it on. It's an orange fox face with tall ears tipped in black.
Excellent, Miss Jones, says the masked lady. Right that way. Find a seat. The performance will begin very soon.
She gestures toward an amphitheater sunk into the sand. It makes me think of a history program Gran and I watched about ancient gladiators. There are people there, dozens of them mill around, all wearing masks, whispering in little groups. Everyone is dressed in fancy clothes, tuxedos and glittering gowns, some waving fans or tapping jeweled canes. I don't see any other kids. It reminds me of a grown-up's holiday party, but for people who look extremely rich. Many of them are carrying instrument cases. Have I been kidnapped by some creepy desert cult? Hoping to get more info from Mr. Stewart, I turn around, but he's gone.
Is it your first time here, young lady?
Asks a voice. I start, looking from mask to mask, until I see the one talking to me, a woman in an emerald green dress and a peacock mask. Yeah, hi. Make them see you as a person, I remember. My name is...
Shh.
She flutters a peacock feather fan at me.
No names at the Midnight Orchestra, dear. That's part of the fun.
Her laugh is like a tuba, brassy and deep. What do you mean?
Think of it as a very exclusive club, dear. Only the most interesting and powerful musicians are invited to join, an honor very few people ever receive.
She cocks her head.
You are the first child I've seen here, though. How odd. You must be quite remarkable.
I remember something Mia said. You must be very interesting to a lot of powerful people. Is that what this is about? My black spell? It never occurred to me that people outside of Mistwick might have heard about it, or that it would make me seem interesting or powerful. Whoever made this guest list is going to be pretty disappointed when they learn I'm just a normal kid who has no idea what she's doing half the time. So, when the performance is over, they send us home? I ask.
Of course, dear. Oh, bless your heart. You look like a mouse in a lion's den. Don't worry, you're perfectly safe here. Mr. Midnight treats his guests very well. You'll see. Now sit, sit. It begins soon.
The other guests, if that's what they even are, have begun to take seats around the amphitheater. I do the same, hoping Mr. Stewart was telling the truth and that when this is all over, I'll be allowed to go home. The lady in green sits nearby and gives me a friendly flutter with her peacock fan, then points at the stage. A hush falls over the crowd as below us, a single violinist appears. A man in a long dark coat with a plain black mask over his face. He waits motionlessly for absolute silence, and when it falls, he raises his violin and begins to play. As the sweet notes rise, curling ribbons of blue light, the air over the stage begins to shift. There's some kind of invisible dome placed over it. The violinist's solo deconstructs it before our eyes. The illusion melts away like sugar under heat, shimmering and sparkling. And as it dissipates into thin air, it reveals the musicians gathered beneath it. They've been there this whole time, hidden from view. As still as statues, dressed all in black, they wear matching porcelain masks painted like dolls' faces. Then the violinist's spell ends, and he raises his bow high.
Esteemed guests, welcome.
His voice is deep and resonant, like a cello tuned to a dramatic pitch. Everyone in the audience leans forward, breath held, eyes fixed on him. It's almost as if he's cast a spell over all of us to utterly hold our attention.
I am Mr. Midnight, he says. And this is my orchestra.